podcast?
Movie, movie, podcast.
Are you getting this?
I don't know how you're allowed a license.
Right.
Welcome to the Movie, Movie Podcast, everybody. Episode number 167. I didn't know where to start, so we had to start somewhere, and that seemed like a good place as any. I am your host, Tiggs, and with me for this, the 2025 Oscars cast are Peter.
Challengers, though.
And Russ.
Who's not a complete unknown.
Oh, that's right. The Oscars are this weekend, and it has snuck up on me in that I keep telling everybody that it's actually next weekend. So I thought it was the 8th or the 9th, I guess.
This weekend?
Yeah, it's this weekend. It's Sunday.
Next weekend is daylight savings.
Actually snuck up on me, too.
Well, I'm glad that breaking news, Peter just found out that the Oscars is this weekend.
And here I was being like, maybe we'll postpone and see when Alex can do this. And then I did not know that there was no time.
Yes.
No,
it is now.
I didn't actually know until I was watching Jimmy Kimmel last night. And he said, they're setting up for the Oscars this weekend. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I saw like an ad with Conan on it like 2 days ago. And I was like, oh, that is this weekend, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So just in time, just under the gun, I guess, is that doesn't really make any sense. Well, here we go. Oscars 2025. What an interesting list of movies that we've got at our discretion to talk about this time. As normally, we're going to go through 8 categories together. Best Picture, Best Director, Actor. In leading and supporting, actress, leading, supporting, and then the two writings. Typically we do animated, but
there's no point.
Yeah, no point.
I don't think there's any like, oh, here comes Pixar fear. So it's flows to lose potential Wild Robot out of nowhere.
I could see Wild. Yeah, well, all right. Maybe we'll just like briefly discuss that later. I put my money
on Wild Robot, and that's it.
Yeah, I could see that. And this actually reminds me, I entered into like an Oscars pool, and now I need to get that done today.
Yes, I really did some work today because I realized there is not much more time. And if I change my mind, I like to do a first draft and then take a look at it again, like on Saturday.
Same. I kept telling myself like, oh, there's all these different pools that are coming up on like podcasts. I listen to it. Be like, I have some time. And I guess once again, I don't.
Nope. So that is why we will be going through this quickly. This is actually we typically see most of everything that's on here. But I think this is after last night when I saw I'm Still Here. I've now seen everything that's been nominated that we're about to talk about.
I'm only down The Apprentice, I think, is the only movie that will be mentioned that I have not seen because I can't do it. I'm sorry.
I watched it last week just because I felt like it had to be homework for the Oscars. We'll talk about it.
I'm going to probably get 1 to 2 more movies out of me before the Oscars. I still haven't seen I'm Still Here. I still haven't seen A Complete Unknown. And I think The Apprentice. And that might be it for the most part.
I watched A Complete Unknown last night because it came up for digital rental.
Yeah, so it's out on streaming now.
I air quotes rented it.
Well, I'm glad that you air quotes rented it so that we could talk about it today.
Yeah.
and it's up on your Letterboxd. You reviewed it, so here we go. So, you know, if anyone's interested, 12 Angry Peters, I don't know, something like that. We'll talk about it later. Get it out of the way right now. Yeah, well, in the middle of the episode, maybe that's what we should start doing. We should start giving out all of our social media accounts in the middle of an episode just to make sure people are listening.
Yeah, so we might as well see Alex's phone number now in full.
and if you do at some point hear from Alex, please read out the text message.
He will not pick up.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's kick it off. We usually start with actors in supporting role, I believe, right?
Yeah, that's
I don't know that we have a typical rotation. This will be the first time I realize that.
All right, so we're going to start with actress in a supporting role. And you know what? Russ,
sure.
Kick us off.
So, actress in a supporting role. Monica Barbaro, a complete unknown. Ariana Grande, Wicked. Felicity Jones, The Brutalist. Isabella Rossellini, Conclave. And Zoe Saldana, Amelia Perez.
Okay, so here's what I want us to do. Is first, let's talk about what we think will win. Then Zoe talk Saldana. About our...
Zoe Saldana.
And then, okay, and then let's all mention our favorite.
Oh, from this list?
Out of this list?
Yep.
I don't think, personally, I would have nominated any of these people.
I would not have nominated Isabella Rossellini. That there wasn't enough in that role. And
I think...
A little more beef true. To that, and I would have been okay with it. Felicity Jones has nothing to do until one scene. Ariana Grande's fine, and I haven't seen.
Monica Barbaro is very good in A Complete Unknown, but I think that Ariana Grande, that the reason that that movie is as fun as it is because of Ariana Grande.
That would be my choice out of this bunch.
All right, so we're all saying Zoe Saldana is a lock. Our lock of the week.
Yeah, I think that's next to Kieran Culkin. That's the biggest lock on the board.
Wait, that's sorry. Like, I just stepped away for a second. Apologies.
That's, okay. So, like, of all of the things about Amelia Perez, I mean, Zoe Saldana does a good job.
Yeah, if you want to call her a supporting act, but that's the issue with this category, this isn't a supporting role.
She is 1,000% the lead, as we talked, I think even mentioned it on our top 10 episode, or when we talked about this movie on the cast, like, she is utterly the lead.
She's the lead.
Yeah.
Even the credit billing of that movie has her as the lead. That movie ends,
that's true.
It says Amelia Perez, and then Zoe Saldana's name comes up. In what world is the supporting actress's name come up first? And if you're going to say, well, maybe alphabetical, her name is Zoe Saldana. Yeah.
So, no.
Yeah, it is. It, like, the only performance I'd probably keep here is Ariana Grande, because again, Zoe should be competing in lead.
Yes.
But I don't think would make it in lead.
I think if you took out Carla Sofia Gascon,
forgot. Yeah. I was like looking at the list and I was like, who would lead? So yeah, you could do that and that would work.
Yeah.
But no shot Zoe wins against this grouping of actresses.
Yeah.
So way clearer lane to a victory in supporting.
There's no way that this goes anywhere else. I saw a complete snubbed last night, and I was expecting Monica Barbaro to wow me a little bit more. I was like waiting for her scene or her moment. And I don't think it ever really came. I think she was just like a good steady hand the entire time.
A good steady hand. And then like she like gives Bob Dylan like the finger at one point. And you're just like, yeah, damn right.
Big snubs.
Big snubs. Big snubs for supporting.
My winner personally would be Anjanou Ellis-Taylor from Nickel Boys.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a big snub. Totally.
That's a huge snub. Yeah.
Huge. Other snubs, Joan Chen and Dee Dee.
She's really good in Dee Dee.
I'd say less of a snub, like of an overt one, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for Michelle Austin is the supporting actress in Hard Truths.
She's very good. Yeah, that's the sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she's really incredible and I think helps anchor the kind of insane but also incredible Marion Jean-Baptiste performance.
We'll get to that snub soon.
Yeah. And then probably did any did I don't know if we ever talked about this. Did anyone seen His Three Daughters?
I almost put it on a few times, and it looks so slow.
Yeah.
That I did not want to watch it. But another one, potential snooberoo would be, you don't get the substance without Margaret Qualley.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah.
So
her fool yourself.
Yeah.
Fool yourself.
So I feel like that's one that's a little missing.
I'm trying to think of like some other
The substance is, I don't think that movie was taken seriously outside of Demi until people almost were like, yeah, I did like Demi, and then started putting it in other categories. But I don't think anyone really thought about doing anything else performing wise for that movie.
No.
Yeah.
Which is weird because it is a two-hander.
Yeah. Even if I look through like my list right now of like what I would have liked to see, I can't really think of many overall snubs. I don't know, Parker Posey and Thelma, but like it's not like an amazing performance.
That's not a snub. That's just
it's just like it was fine. Yeah.
On the level of Joan Chen would be Tilda Swinton in Problemista.
Oh yeah.
I still haven't seen Problemista.
It's really fun.
It's really, really fun. And Tilda's incredible.
What about young Furiosa in Furiosa?
Oh, so good. Carol Kane in Between the Temples, way too small of a movie.
Yeah.
But she's really good at that.
I feel like I could make a good case for either, but they're both leads. If I was going to go Heretic with this, neither one really makes sense as like they're both on screen the exact amount of time.
I think you could call them supporting. I think calling both supporting one of them or supporting is kind of a spoiler.
Yeah, that's true. But really, it's like Hugh Grant is a lead, and then the other two are both supporting. Okay, so Zoe wins.
Shouldn't be nominated in this category. I don't see her losing. I think the rumblings of what if Ariana Grande wins an Oscar never really got that high at all.
No.
I think Isabella Rossellini is it's an honor to be nominated, and it's because of her name, but there's no way in hell Zoe Saldana. She's steamrolling this season.
Yeah.
I don't think she's lost anything.
Maybe they should have nominated Monica Bellucci for Beetlejuice. All right. let's keep it rolling then. I think we're there. Let's go to Best Actor in Supporting Role. Peter, give it to us.
Yura Borisov and Anora. Kieran Culkin for Real Pain. Edward Norton for A Complete Unknown. Guy Pearce in The Brutalist. And Jeremy Strong in The Apprentice.
Okay, who's going to win?
Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin. Who should win?
Maybe someone else in Anora, honestly.
I mean, from this list, I think that Kieran Culkin is.
If you look at like the recipe or the formula to win this fucking award, this is like the most textbook way to do it in supporting. Yeah. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, because I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
And this performance. It feels so, quote unquote, safe.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
nothing against what he does or what the movie is, because, again, I really enjoy the movie. I just think this is like so.
He has more screen time than who would be considered lead.
Right, and he's like spoken about. I think that's why they call him supporting, because he's spoken about. But I'm like, the movie starts with him, and it ends with him.
It ends with him.
We learn everything about him through Jesse Eisenberg's character. Yeah. I think we even what we think of him in a lot of, even after those scenes in which he's such a focal point, what we think of him comes from what Jesse Eisenberg said about him or feels.
Right, you see the like the reality and like the present, and then Jesse Eisenberg kind of colors it with the past. It is a you know, if Benji's not on screen, everybody should be saying, "Where's Benji?" type of thing going on at this.
You mean the dog actor, right?
Yes, exactly. I 100% meant the dog actor. Yeah. Edward Norton's very good in A Complete Unknown as Pete Seeger. It feels like Ed Norton just being just like, hey, are you normal now? Which is kind of cool.
There was a world where maybe a few weeks ago, I thought there was a potential dark horse for him in terms of the fact that he's probably owed at this point. Like, they love to do that kind of shit. What has he been nominated, what, at least 3 times? Primal Fear, way back when. Birdman.
Oh, Birdman, yeah.
Birdman, yeah. So I think 3 times would be my guess. I can't.
So then they're pretty soon. He needs a little bit more regular work to get the He's Due award.
Yeah.
Like, I think he'll probably get that within the next 5 years because he's getting up there in age. And it's odd that, like, he came on the scene in his 20s and still hasn't won shit.
Yeah.
Wait. No, 3-4 times. American History
counting X. Counting this one's 4.
Oh, American History X. Yeah. Okay.
I said American History X.
Oh, you did.
Oh. Okay. Well, we were talking over you.
Yeah. So it's very interesting you said that he was first nominated almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Not overdue.
Okay. So Guy Pearce for The Brutalist. Now, much like the Edward Norton, you know, like kind of giving it for past performances type thing. Could this be when Guy Pearce gets it for Lockout?
No.
Like they realize. No. Okay.
I would say if Kieran wasn't in here, Guy Pearce would be a huge threat because I think there's might be the feelings of, oh, we should have probably nominated him for LA Confidential and not Kevin Spacey.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's true. But even still, if Kieran wasn't in this and it was in leading as, you know, should be, I think that this would probably be Norton's at this point. But, and now we come to the last one on the list, Jeremy Strong in The Apprentice.
Didn't see it. Well, I might see it.
I can't. I don't think I can handle.
It's a very good, they're both very good performances. As you kind of see the two characters like kind of grow or diminish in very subtle ways across like the entirety of the film and like how they and how like how they start and how they end and I think that they play them very well. Is the Oscars going to make a political stance by giving it to Jeremy Strong or Sebastian Stan?
No. Okay. I don't think that's
question
at all. I think there would be a higher probability of that if Kieran Culkin wasn't here. But I think him being a former co-star of Jeremy Strong hurts Jeremy Strong more than it hurts Kieran Culkin.
Oh
that's time. True. I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's fair.
Succession effect.
Yeah,
succession effect.
I think if Kieran Culkin wasn't here, we would probably be talking about Jeremy Strong more. Not in terms of strength of performance, but just because, as I said, they both came off winning Emmys for the show, their longtime show that just ended together.
Yeah.
And that show ended with Kieran Culkin getting stuff as opposed to, I think Jeremy Strong started off with more of the accolades and it ended with Kieran Culkin getting a bunch of the accolades.
Yeah,
totally.
So
totally.
He's got the momentum.
But I mean, yeah, well, we don't have to talk about the success.
Yeah. You're Borisov really good. I think it's strange to not nominate Mark Edelstein.
Yeah.
Here. I think he's so good in that role.
I think he's gone too much.
Yeah, but it's a poor.
I know, but I think when you think about all of the people that are there, like when the engine of the movie really gets going, he's not there.
Yeah, but that's true. I love how practically like almost comatose he is when he returns to the movie.
Oh, it's like almost Weekend at Bernie's level.
Yeah.
It is very good. But it is that thing of just like he's there for the first 30 minutes and then gone and then shows up again at the end. Which again makes sense for supporting, but I'd also say, yeah.
And Euro's there he's the whole time.
Yeah. All right, give me some snubs.
Richard Roundtree and Thelma.
Oh, and Thelma. Right. Yeah. Like, Thelma overall, you know.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We're gonna keep bringing up Thelma. Javier Bardem in Dune, if the Oscars care any of the actors in Dune, I think he really
holds
that role. And, you know, especially it feels like it's a snub because I think he really surprised me with that role in the second one after we just have get a hint of him in the first one. And also he's former winner and multiple time nominee, you would just expect him to pop up, and he just didn't.
I think the world wanted us to think Denzel Washington, but Gladiator 2 ended up being not a good movie. Like a borderline fun movie, but definitely not a good movie.
Yeah. I think without seeing that movie, you could say, I think Denzel might get nominated, but I think once you see it, it's not happening at all.
Yeah, no one's going to get nominated. I want to throw out my joke/serious one would be Jonathan Langdon as the t-shirt vendor in Trap.
he's phenomenal.
He is really good. I would also say Jesse Plemons in Civil War for his one scene that kills, and then Paul Racy in Sing Sing. And actually, most of the cast of Sing Sing.
I think. Yeah.
Clarence Macklin
not showing up.
Clarence Macklin.
Humongous surprise.
That to me was, but again, that movie, and we'll, if there's any other categories where we'll talk about it, that movie is a victim of its release.
Yeah.
Best picture, I would say, should have been up there.
Yeah.
My last serious one is Adam Pearson in A Different Man.
Yes.
That's fair. Yeah,
100%. Totally. I would also say, I would also consider Nicholas Hoult in The Order. I thought he did a very good performance.
Now, what do we do about the Challengers boys?
I think Mike Feist is supporting and Joshua O'Connor is lead.
Good question.
Okay. Either and any way you slice it,
they should.
Those are some snooberoos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are big time snoobs.
Yeah, assume whenever we talk about a category that we also nominate someone from Challengers or something about Challengers in that category.
Would there have been a supporting actress from Challengers?
No.
That might be the only thing it wouldn't have had. I'm looking at picture directing, actor, actress, supporting, writing.
The lady who lets Josh O'Connor eat her egg sandwich?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay,
oh,
yeah.
On the blind date?
The lady on the blind date, yeah.
Yep.
Mike Feist and do I sound like my dad?
I would have given the tennis racket an award. What is wrong with people? All right, well that's phase one of our bitching about that.
It's gonna keep coming back though.
But supporting our locks, it's Kieran, it's Zoe, and there's no way around it.
Yeah, no. There will be no surprise.
One other snub would probably be, and again, I think we just kind of touched on this about like how Margaret Qualley wasn't there, but Dennis Quaid as well in The Substance. Like that is a force of nature role.
Yeah, but I think people in Hollywood hate him, rightfully.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
So he was never going to get nominated.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Okay. Cool. All right.
In Reagan, right, was going to be your next
time. Yeah, that's obviously totally. Actually, was there anybody from Horizon Part One that could have been nominated in this as well?
I can't look at that cast list. It's been so long.
I actually, you know what? Luke Wilson in Horizon Part One.
Ooh, yeah,
God.
Giovanna Ribisi in the montage at the end of Horizon Part One.
I've heard great things.
I'm so mad. Every week goes by, I get a little bit more mad that we haven't seen Part Two yet.
It was supposed to come out like 3 months later.
I know.
It's not out yet.
So annoyed.
All right. So we did the supportings. Let's move over to best adapted screenplay. Ross.
All right. In adapted screenplay, we've got A Complete Unknown.
What?
Conclave.
What?
A Complete Unknown.
There we go.
Amelia Perez, Nickel Boys, and Sing Sing.
Wait, you're not going to sing any of the hugely memorable songs from Amelia Perez?
I feel like it'll get pretty racist if I do. So,
all right.
Not gonna take that bait.
I think this is the biggest who will, who should, I think, on the list.
I think this is Conclave's to lose.
I think it should be.
But it, oh, you know, I'm gonna say no to A Complete Unknown because
I agree.
That is a movie for dads, and I'm not there yet. Emilia Perez, that's a hard no, because it's bad, objectively. Nickel Boys and Sing Sing,
I think Nickel Boys is more of a directive, because Nickel Boys
is more about the visual, like what it does as a visual, from a visual medium, as a visual adaptation. I'd give it to Sing Sing over Nickel Boys.
Yeah, but I think that part of Nickel Boys is something that starts in the script. I don't think you write Nickel Boys and then say, hey, you know what would be cool if we did this in first person?
I know, but I and that is so impressive.
But I think that it's a feat of execution as well. Like, and I think that you could write that down and it could just like completely falter. And it is very much about like how it's the cinematography and how it's directed that really pushes it to another level as opposed to just like being in the screenplay.
Yeah. But I guess,
which is why I would also go Sing Sing over. Yeah. I would go Sing Sing
and like, it's really, I wouldn't be upset either way. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Cause they're both vibrating, they're both at a much higher vibration as the rest than the rest of these films. But I think Conclave is like such a stodgy, obvious, safe pick, and I like the movie, so I'm not saying that like it's bad. It just feels really, I don't know.
The impressive thing about Conclave is that I have heard zero people complaining about Conclave, a movie that should have a million different groups complaining about Conclave. I don't think,
especially the last 10 minutes,
10, 15 minutes.
I'm shocked there hasn't been outcry in some direction.
Yeah. But so it
now, works. I can't say there what was about minor. Who, but I've heard criticism from one friend, and that is it.
I think there was probably something written somewhere where it was just like, don't go see this, Catholics, or something like that. But I'm pretty sure that was about it.
Any movie that hasn't had that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
This list here. The Brutalist. So what got snubbed here? What got snubbed?
I don't really have.
I'm actually having a typical
adapted snubs.
No, but what about adopted snubs?
Adopted snubs. I mean, I think
Dune.
I would have liked to see Dune here because it's especially what he changes about the second half of that book. I think makes it work better. And more, and especially almost it works. It finally adapts an unadaptable book in a way interesting way for a wider audience. And there's so many changes to this one. Just a quick update. I got a text from Alice that says, oh shit, so sorry. What time we're doing it?
Right now.
Okay, I'm going to text, hop on.
Jump in and whatever. Yeah. I think that's fair, and really what I'm thinking of right now are like, what are sequel, like Furiosa, I don't think I would have put on here. I think that's more like performances that I think that should probably be elevated, if anything.
Was
Baby Girl based on a book?
That's supporting actor.
Baby Girl is, I don't believe, based on a book.
No. Yeah.
So maybe that would be an original.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll get there. Pretty shortly too. Dune 2.
I'd say Dune. That's the big one.
It's a big one.
Because
of how effective and successful his changes were.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking through stuff, I can't think of anything.
It's always tough because sometimes like the fact that adapted has its own category, I always like lean towards the side of like, this is a really impressive feat of adaptation.
Yeah. Well, Emilia Perez can go, A Complete Unknown can go. I think the other three are pretty strong. I think that Dune Part 2 would have been good here. I also think, you know what? Wild Robot, throw it in there.
Okay.
That works.
I think that would have worked. That would have worked as well for me. Okay. All right. Let's move on to, we could wait for Alex and just throw him an award as soon as he gets on, but I think that we should just keep it moving and say, best writing
no original idea how screenplay. Long
we can make him exactly. do a shorts corner since he's seen all the shorts.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. But Peter, best writing original screenplay. What are the nominees, please?
Anora, The Brutalist. Mm-hmm. A Real Pain.
Yep.
September 5 and the Sub.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's for a new movie. I'm all for like we should be nominating more movies every year and not like the same like six or not that I would say probably the same 10 movies pop up everywhere here, but September.
Where'd you get that number from?
September 5 is hugely surprising.
Yeah. I didn't expect that. I do like September 5. I don't know if it's like the best original screenplay, but yeah, that's fine. Yeah, why not?
I don't know how it's not adapted in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I still don't even really understand like the rules for like if something happens in real life, is that that's not adapted? That's not I don't know. Okay. What wins? What should win? Nora.
I foresee. I lost the. Okay, there we go. Yeah, I think this is a Nora.
I foresee you.
Oh my God, it would be great. Like if this is
stop with the lockout references, guys.
Lockout, come back.
Good movie.
Oh man, great movie. Great movie. Classic movie. Might watch it right after this, honestly. Okay, so yeah, I don't know. Is it a Nora or a Real Pain?
It's a Nora.
I think it's a Nora. I would have guessed a Real Pain until a Nora started finally racking up awards.
Yeah.
Okay. And no, so, all right, here's another question. Do we think that The Brutalist basically gets shut out?
Well, it's not going to get shut out because Adrian Brody's going to win.
Oh, and I think it'll so get like spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think it'll get cinematography and score. Going to get some stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to it'll get like three or four things.
It's going to it's going to whiff the major stuff for the most part, as you said, outside of probably Adrian Brody.
Yeah. But cinematography, I'm just looking at it now.
Another gigantic snub horseshit category that fucking Nickel Boys isn't nominated.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That Nickel Boys is not nominated for cinematography.
And TDH, I thought Conclave should be
It's a beautiful movie. Beautiful right. movie.
Like I would put it over Emilia Perez. I didn't see Maria and Nosferatu's fine, but like
I feel like that's the thing with Nosferatu. Other than oh my gosh, Defoe's performance in Nosferatu. Oh, that would have been a good supporting.
Yeah, he's I'm so happy to watch him do that stuff, but I would never have guessed that he would get in there.
No.
Yeah, totally. Okay, but we're not even talking about that one. We're not even talking about that one. Peter, agree about Anora?
Yeah, as I said, I think until Anora won all that stuff, I would have said a Real Pain, but I think it's definitely going to be Anora. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Alex Kovias.
Winner of the best actor in a leading role.
Wait. Can't hear him.
Oh, hey, there we go.
There he is.
Yeah.
Complete unknown.
It's like
let me tell you something. It's awesome. It's just pretty much Bob Dylan's a jerk and muddles a lot.
Spoiler.
We'll get to Alex's shorts corner in a second, but obvious original screenplay snub is Challengers.
Agreed. Okay, yeah.
Trap.
Hard Truths.
Hard Truths for sure. Heretic, honestly. That movie is all I don't know. Like Heretic, I feel like is that's one that I'm going to start keep going.
Yeah, well, there's some movies like that it's like most writing and like most work they had to do to kind of suck you in. And that's definitely one
that's
of them.
That's fair. That's fair. That's
also,
fair.
I think like the second half pivot on that one probably doesn't like something that the Academy loves.
Yeah,
that, they would have liked
it being what it was at the start.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised it's not anywhere on this list, but this would be a really fun little spot to pop I Saw the TV Glow into.
I agree with that, too. Yeah,
that would be good. That movie gives such independent spirit vibes and so Oscar vibes.
Granted, I also like either that or cinematography. If cinematography wasn't a bullshit category this year, I would have loved to see I Saw the TV Glow pop up there.
That would deserve cinematography as well. Anything else that we're looking at on these lists for original screenplay? I mean,
Different Man is silly to not
be here.
Agreed. I agree.
Assuming that's an original screenplay, I really don't know.
I was actually about to ask that.
I don't know. I just let the categories tell me what they are.
Yeah.
You could say that it's a complete unknown.
Yeah. These are the two. I have to go on like Oscar Watch Gold Derby websites to see who the front runners are, just to know what is original and what is adapted.
It's wild because right now Variety has for which one adapted we're looking at.
We're looking at original.
Original. Sorry. Has a real pain as the front runner.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Shit.
You want to tell us about some shorts?
Oh my god, yeah, Alex. Saw every single guys, I'm at 86% of movies seen for this year's Oscars.
Wow.
So, I might not watch movies.
0% for emails responded to.
I thought this was tomorrow. I forgot what day it was.
No worries. Tell us.
That makes sense.
Where do you want to start?
Live action shorts?
Yeah, pick a short.
I'm trying to find.
If you go to the Wikipedia for the 97th Academy Awards, it's all laid out very nicely there.
Okay, that probably is true. Okay, so you know what? I've got animated in front of me, so we'll start with that.
Great. Live action short it is.
Okay.
Hey, who's the host here?
I'm sorry. I am, the weird thing is I'm also stealing your bits.
I know. That's what I do to you.
So the live action shorts are. Sorry, this is gonna be an all Bob Dylan all the time tonight.
Oops, all Dylans.
Yeah,
all Dylans.
Live action shorts. Anuja. I'm Not a Robot. The Last Ranger. Alien. And The Man Who Cannot Remain Silent. I thought they were all pretty good. Pretty darn good. Yep. I really liked I'm Not a Robot. That's like a, I believe, Dutch one about a woman that fails a CAPTCHA and finds out she's a robot.
That's awesome. That's a great premise. Yeah. I fail CAPTCHAs all the time, and I wonder if I'm a robot.
But isn't that the exact recipe of a movie that does not win this award?
Yes.
Like I think if the best way to pick the live action shorts is describe what their plot is, and the ones you think sound interesting, don't guess them to win.
Anuja is good, and it's like well done, and it's like starring a child that has been like raised out of like sweatshop poverty and all that.
Okay.
So
sounds depressing. We'll probably win, depending on what the other ones are.
So that's gonna win because it's like it's definitely like the
that if you vote for it, it makes you feel good about you.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm hearing that for both. But also both Alien and The Man Who Cannot Remain Silent, though.
Yeah,
Alien.
Yeah, is that the way? I don't know how you should be.
I don't know what you're supposed to do there.
I don't know what you're supposed to do either.
I think it's Alien.
But it's Alien. Yeah, it's good though. They were all. Yeah, they were all pretty good. But yeah, I think Anisha's gonna win. I like I'm Not a Robot the most.
These are all titles of like. These are Seinfeld all really movies. Good titles. I was gonna say of like dime store sci-fi books that you could get like on like a revolving bookshelf type of thing. Yeah, like I would totally. Pick up all of these.
Doc Short.
Okay.
Doc Death Short. These were all fucking bummers.
Yeah.
except for Instruments of Beating Heart, which is about like a little girl in Japan who's like trying out for like a band as the like to play Ode to Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And she's just like very excited to like work hard and like it's so cute.
So
does she get in
just
the band?
To clarify,
yes.
the considering the rest of the movies are called Death by Numbers,
yep.
I'm Ready, Warden, Incident, yep. and The Only Girl in the Orchestra, they're the only all girl
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, but I think Incident should win. That is one that is all just like body cam and security cam footage of a black man being shot by police. like you could hear a pin drop in the theater for that one. But Variety Damn. Has I'm Ready, Warden winning. I think that could easily take it. That's
oh, it's about a fucking execution. Jesus Christ.
I've heard strong rumblings for Instruments of a Beating Heart because it's like that. Won't Oscar voters want to see that little girl come up on stage?
Yeah, oh, it's like what's yeah. that TV show where the little kids like I can do
old
it
enough.
Recess.
Yeah, it's like that. You kind of cry happy tears in it.
Okay.
I wish that would win, too. That's a good one. And Only Girl in the Orchestra is like, it's good.
That to me seems like the odd duck out because the other three are like such bummers. And Instruments of a Beating Heart is like a cute little girl. So get out of here, adult woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't care about you. My money is on just Incident. I think people didn't see it because it would have turned them off. So I'm going to put my uninformed money on. And I think School Shooting Survivor, real bummer.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I think Instruments takes it because it's every single one of these make me want to kill myself except for that.
I'm with Russ on this one.
We did the marathon thing of this too where like it's like all of them back to back.
Oh God.
Of like the whole day.
Ooh.
Of like live, like yeah, it was all right, and animated.
In between a bunch of clowns come in and start, they were like, you know, there's just they just play like clips from Aladdin in between each of the documentary shorts.
Beautiful Men, In the Shadow of Cypress, Magic Candies, Wander to Wonder, and Yuck.
I've heard great things about Yuck.
Yeah, Yuck is cute. I really like Wander to Wonder. It's like these like fucked up claymation, like. They're like little people that live inside like a like PBS type show and they're like awesome. Abandoned. And it's really crazy. I think In the Shadow of Cypress is probably going to win, but I'm hearing more buzz now for Magic Candies, which is good. It's a good one. It's this little kid that eats all these different candies is able to hear different things in his house, like his dog is able to communicate with, or the couch, or like okay. Yeah, it's very weird. Cute.
What is the cutoff for time on like the shorts? Like what is it? Look back. Well, I feel like that should have been.
I think it's great. Under 40 minutes.
Okay, so misses out on both.
Like no confidence, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, you said it with a lot of confidence. So I know. I'll believe you.
But yeah, all pretty good for the animated.
So less depressing than the documentaries.
Much less.
Okay.
Like Beautiful all Men right. is about a whole bunch of guys that go to Turkey to get hair transplants.
And let's hear. In the Shadow of the Cypress is about PTSD.
Yep.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
20-minute dialogue-free PTSD animated short.
Yeah. Cool. Fun times all around.
Damn. All right. Cool. That was Alex's short corner.
Wow. Sorry. Well, just played the little musical sting.
You got it. From Downtown, Oscar's official FAQ for animated short film. What is the maximum running time to enter a short film competition? The maximum runtime is 40 minutes.
Boom. Wow. Nailed it. Look at that.
I'm just a gold,
new.
Golden God.
You couldn't think of a quote from Lockout for that one? All right, well, moving on. All right, let's go to Best Actor in a Leading Role. Russ.
You got it, dog.
Give it to us.
Adrian Brody, the Brutalist, Timothy Chalamet, Coleman Domingo, Sing Sing, Ralph Fiennes, Conclave, and Sebastian Stan in The Apprentice.
Sebastian Stan nominated for the wrong movie.
Completely agree. Although, did anyone else see The Apprentice?
No.
Yes, I did. He is very good in it.
He is very good in it. And so
it is a very good performance and a very solid performance.
Yeah.
Sebastian Stan question. Is he like officially one of these type of people, like an Oscar-y actor, or was this just a weird year with two beloved performances?
I think the Thunderbolts reception is going to have a lot to say about that.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Which is supposed to be good, right?
Weird. Yes. But every Marvel movie is supposed to be good until it's not.
That's fair.
He's been in nominated movies before. Like, he was like I, Tonya, he had a huge role in.
He was great.
Yeah.
So is he like accidentally good in a lot of things, or is he good?
I think
he's good.
So far down the Avengers like list of who we care about that he's that no one really thought about him. But I think if he's on the other side of that, or once he gets to the other side of that, I think he'll be big.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, all right. So we're saying Adrian Brody is taking this. I think Coleman Domingo should take it, though.
I agree. Coleman Domingo should. That
Coleman Domingo is not kind of in talks, and it's a 2-person race between Brody and Chalamet.
They fucked this movie, dude. Like, this shit came out and was forgotten. And the fact that he's even nominated to me is like a big deal because. Yeah. Every single other movie was way later on in the cycle. Like the fact that he even held on for dear life is impressive. But that also goes to show this motherfucker should be winning.
Yeah, he should 100% be winning. I think Chalamet and Stan are both playing people that exist.
Yeah.
And Chalamet is doing an impression of Bob Dylan, and Sebastian Stan is doing like an impressionistic performance of Donald Trump. And I think that Stan's performance of Donald Trump in that way is so much more interesting and better.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
But I think, like, again, the person who really takes it in Apprentice is also nominated, but
Strong is
so much. Yeah. Like, that's so good.
Yeah, I would have not doubted that Brody was winning this until Timmy won SAG the other night.
Oh, yeah.
And when you consider that that's the biggest wing of voters.
Yeah.
But I think there's a comeback story for Adrian Brody, and there's a first time to the party story for Timothée Chalamet. Chalamet's going to be here next year for something else, or 2 years from now. I don't know that Adrian Brody gets back. And I think because it's been 20 some odd years and he was a young guy and now he's an old guy, they're going to find a way to tell that Oscar story over Timothy being a 29-year-old winning.
Yeah, but don't forget, Timothy Chalamet was nominated for Best Actor 7 years ago.
I know, which is wild. I think he is probably hitting one of the better paces of... getting Academy love. I do not think it's gonna happen. I've gone back and forth. My first pick was him winning, and then I went back because I'm like, no, I think it's gonna be Adrian Brody. I think Timothy is gonna get one in the next 2 years.
Yeah. I think it's
and
funny.
I'm very not just, confident.
I just saw The Brutalist finally this weekend.
How did that whole day go?
No, it's good. It's funny because I think until you hit that epilogue, you don't really like appreciate the performance as much yet.
Yeah.
I think Brody's gonna take this.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about Ralph Fiennes yet.
Oh, my God. We're about to get another concert.
He is such an overlooked actor. I think there was even a headline today that like some Oscar voters said they weren't going to vote for Ralph Fiennes because even though they liked him, he's already won an Oscar. And I think people have convinced themselves that he won for Schindler's List or English Patient, and he didn't for either.
I'm going to say they don't want to do it because they can't figure out who he is. Like, I don't see any Ray on this list. I see a Ralph.
Ralph Fiennes. But I think he's almost under, I mean, especially coming off of Grand Budapest, which I think a lot of people were like, slam dunk, he's winning this. And then to go not even nominated for Grand Budapest was insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think weirdly, Conclave is too much of a, like a collab.
That's too much of an ensemble piece.
Yeah, it did totally. Just win the Ensemble SAG Award.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Which makes sense. Yeah. I could totally see that. All right. Who got snubbed? Josh Hartnett.
Absolutely, Josh Hartnett. And then once again, obligatory challengers mentioned Josh O'Connor.
Yep. Hugh Grant.
Like Josh Hartnett, I think Glenn Powell in Hitman is a really, really fun performance.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy that that's not on here, honestly. Yeah. Like, that is
shocking. I thought it maybe could have gotten a screenplay.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But I don't know which.
And well, and that would be adapted because it's based on a magazine article. Jesus Christ.
I didn't see it, but Daniel Craig Queer, that kind of did not get a drop of love, and I thought that was going to be the reason why people forgot about Challengers was that. And it come to find out, no one gave a fuck about Luca Guadagnino this year.
Yeah,
which is really strange.
I think you leave Queer thinking about Jason Schwartzman more than you do.
100%.
What's his face?
Okay.
Craig.
Interesting. Okay. I have not seen that yet. I think I was going to, and then I remember it was either Russ's or Pete's like Letterboxd review where I was like, I think I won't see this.
Wasn't mine because I didn't see it.
No.
It's a performance that would never be nominated, but I think Rebel Ridge is like a full star higher because of Adam Pearce.
Aaron. Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
That's what else?
Hi, Penny.
Justice Smith.
Yeah. I would have. I mean, would never. But Jesse Plemons, Kinds of Kindness, all characters.
No one from Nickel Boys is an actor.
Because like. So much of their screen time is like talking from the other side of the camera.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
And I think that like, that's one that probably is really hard for people to like, I guess, nail down who is supporting and who's leading in some ways.
It's interesting. It's like people were like, listen, we know this movie is great. That's why we're nominating it for Best Picture. Other than that, leave us alone.
Yeah.
We don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
We're not racist.
We liked it. We just don't know what to make things about. Okay. So Best Picture and adapted screenplay. Leave us alone.
Open the schools. I mean, close the schools. I don't know which one.
Okay. Anything else we want to call out in here? Michael Keaton and Goodrich. No. All right. Let's move on.
Let's go.
All right. Best actress in a leading role. Alex.
All right. Best actress in a leading role. Cynthia Erivo, Wicked. Carla Sofia Gascon, Emilia Perez, Mikey Madison, Anora, Demi Moore, The Substance. And Fernando Torres, I'm Still Here.
There's Demi Moore, right?
I think it's got to be. The Night of the Golden Globes made me think maybe Fernando Torres could win this, but I don't. Everything that's happened since then, I think it's Demi.
I agree. Yeah. And Fernando Torres is great. Yeah. Well, they're both great.
So is Mikey
Madison. Yeah.
So is Mikey Madison, yeah.
Yeah.
I think those three are unimpeachable, should be here on this list. The other two, I could definitely kick off Carla, because A, she is not the leading role of that film.
Yep.
And B, I think kind of not good.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Cynthia Erivo sings wonderfully, but doesn't really do anything for me on the acting front of it.
I feel the exact same way.
I love that movie as musical Avengers, and I'm fine with it, with her here to a degree, but you also know there's a part two with more stuff. Like,
yeah,
you could just throw the nom next year.
The Return of the King, this. It's going to sweep like crazy when it's...
I think it's still going to win a bunch of...
the technical.
Lines.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the below-the-line stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
But if we're talking Snoobies...
Snubberoos.
Where is my girl Zendaya?
Oh, my God.
That's obvious. Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. Once again, obligatory ring the Challenger's bell, ring the Thelma bell.
June Squibb is ridiculous for not being out there.
And hell, throw Nicole Kidman out there, baby girl. Yep. Shit. Like. Yeah.
And then once again, as me and Tiggs will keep harping on, Marion, Jean-Baptiste, and Hard Truths.
And Hard Truths, fantastic in that. And as I keep bringing it up as well, Kiki in Civil War. She's great in that.
I think she is really good in that. And I'm I'm a big fan of Jodie Comer and the Bike Riders, and I'm not afraid to say it, even though I just said it like I was afraid.
We'll move on from that one.
Watch His Three Daughters and figure out who's lead, who's supporting, and who you'd want to nominate, because all three of them and His Three Daughters are fantastic.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else we want to call out here?
No,
that is missing.
Other than more people should see I'm Still Here. Tiggs loved it.
Yes, so good. Oh my God, it's great.
Yeah, it's just been tough to. I mean, it's just in theaters, so
it's in like a theater. It's not even in theaters. it's in like one in the entire United States at this point. But worth traveling to go and see it if you can. It should be coming. I think it's streaming like the week after, which is really annoying.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah. All right. We're moving on to director. Best directing. Best directing by a director in a directing role. Peter.
Jacques Audiard, Amelia Perez, Sean Baker, Anora, Brady Corbet, The Brutalist. Coralie Farge for The Substance, and James Mangold shouldn't be here. Russ, take it away.
Okay, well,
why? How is Nickel Boys not here?
I would quickly kick out Jacques Audiard and James Mangold and put in Ramel Ross.
Nickel Boys twice, whatever.
And maybe Jane Schoenberg for I Saw the TV Girl.
One of those makes sense, and one of those is just what you want, which is fine.
Right. Challengers would be the other one that would actually make sense as well.
Yes.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Obviously. Winner of all of the categories is M. Night Shyamalan this year, honestly.
Lady Raven for Best Instagram Live.
That's not nominated for Best Song either, is it? What is going on here?
I don't know if those songs are original. Are those?
No, they're written by his daughter.
No, but yeah, are her songs that she's written before is the issue.
Oh,
it's one of those things. That's like you're not even allowed to have thought of the lyrics to that song before someone said, "Hey, can you write a song for this movie?"
Hell, Wicked?
I would even have Edward Berger in here for Conclave over.
Yeah, totally.
Mangold and Audiard.
It's a weird year because. As we will always talk about, there's only a single woman here, but I'm trying to figure out who on my like best of list or who was high up on my end of year list who was a female director.
I'm looking through stuff right now.
I love Love Lies Bleeding, but I don't think that was ever going to come close. I think that movie's fantastic. As I said, that's why I said Jane. Maybe
which one?
Wait, who?
Baby Girl for directing.
Oh yeah, I could see Baby Girl.
Yeah,
I mean that's a little bit of a reach for that movie. Again, I like it.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think someone actually pick.
As I said, for the prestige films, there wasn't a lot directed by women who you could see as being Oscar nominees. Which is not to say they're not incredible movies, but just don't fall into
careful.
The normal category. what I'm saying is like what's so exciting Substance made it in here.
Yep.
What
do you think takes it?
I think it's Sean Baker.
I think so too. I think
Brady Corbet's winning here, but The Brutalist is not winning Best Picture. Just for
I've kind of felt that, but I'm I I just
I play the game.
Yeah, I feel like Anora just has so much love right now. He is going to win Sean Baker screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
So he can potentially not end up getting both. I don't know. I see Anora by like a literal whisker.
Now, to be fair, you are
a Baker boy. That's how I feel right now. I am a Baker. I've always been a Baker boy.
You've been a fabulous Baker boy.
Yeah. I would say. But this is one that I think comes Sunday night. If I'm changing something in my picks, it will be this.
Yeah. It's tough. It's a tough one. But I don't think there's a chance any of the other three. And I think it's insane that James Mangold's on this list.
He makes movies. Again, like, he makes movies for dads. Yeah. Ford v. Ferrari. Like, he just makes shit that I don't fucking care about. But yeah, it's totally fine. Like, there's nothing really that wrong with Dial of Destiny, but there's also nothing that right with it.
He did Dial Destiny.
Yes.
Yeah.
He makes shit that's just so objectively not bad, but also not good.
Yeah.
I thought 310 to Yuma was all right.
Yeah, me too.
But like that. And Logan. That's it.
Oh, Logan's great. I love Logan. I love Logan.
Look at his filmography. It's so average.
Yeah, I mean, all right.
But yet Ford v. Ferrari is a Best Picture nominee. Like, what world are we living in? Who he must have something on someone. He must know about the man behind Weinstein or something. Like, the big
he's bat. Got those flight logs.
Yeah, he knows exactly. Something about the island. He's got something on someone.
We have to go back.
That island. And good loss. Speaking of which, Tiggs, why don't you give us the Best Picture nominees?
Wow, look at Alex. It's taken over. All right. Best Picture. We've got Anora, The Brutalist, Russ, Conclave, Dune Part Deux, Amelia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked.
I think Anora.
The wickedly talented.
I think Anora wins. And yet it does feel like The Brutalist is like losing in some way, shape, or form because it's not getting these big awards. But it's still having a good night.
Well, before we actually go too deep into this, Pete, how does the voting work for Best Picture?
So it is a preferential ballot, which is not the same as ranked choice. So, or like how do you mark top 10? Yeah, sorry.
What are you having?
Yeah, I was well, let's get there.
Caitlin just brought me some potatoes and some carrots.
Oh, that's nice. I have it
and some roast pork.
Wow.
So how it works is
the last award of the night.
I know. The voters send in their preferences for, you know, ranked from first to 10th. They tabulate all the first place choices. And if any movie has above 50%, that wins. If no movie has above 50% first places, then they look at what movie had the least amount of first place votes. That movie is eliminated. And everyone who put that in first, their first place
vote is immediately executed.
Yeah. Oh. Well, so now those people, their first place votes are eliminated, and now their number two is their number one.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe there's a mathematical reason for that I don't give a shit about. But isn't ranked choice voting just easier?
I would say so too. I think
because this is too many if-thans in this. Just what's your number ones? What's your number twos? That's not fucking difficult.
Yeah, I agree. That's what makes this so interesting, though. Of like, sometimes the big giant movie that people are putting at number one might get screwed over by it not showing up as number two on anyone's list who didn't put it as number one.
Right.
So weird.
That's really weird. Okay. So from this list, I feel like it's got to be Nora or the Brutalist.
Yeah. I think it should be The Substance.
Agreed. It will never be The Substance.
I think it should be Nickel Boys.
Preferential ballot. Conclave has a shot at being a surprise.
Right. I was thinking A Complete Unknown has a shot at being a surprise out of preferential ballot.
I think this is, granted, I would say this is kind of like the Mad Max Revenant spotlight year. I think
where Conclave is spotlight.
Yeah. Conclave is spotlight. Anora is Mad Max, and the Brutalist is the Revenant.
I could see that.
And so I'm a little weird.
That's actually that's a really good comparison.
Yeah. Thank you.
I could see that. So now
the only difference I would say is it seems like the Academy has gotten a little riskier.
Yeah.
In terms of what they'll give Best Picture to since then. Mm-hmm. So that, while as Mad Max-y as Anora might be, I think it, Everything Everywhere Everywhere All at Once was Mad Max-y, and
that's true. Yeah. Yep.
So maybe they're just trending as they open up the Academy more. Maybe something like Anora can break through. But I almost think, to your point, if not Anora, it'll be fucking Conclave.
Okay, so here's my question to the three.
I think
of you
Brutalist might have pissed people off with its length. Like, it's too long.
That's true. Yeah. Do we come in here and do a podcast this coming week if and when Emilia Perez sweeps all 13 awards that it's nominated for?
Eat shit. I think Emilia Perez is going to win. Emilia Perez will win for a song.
Song.
And Emilia Perez will win for potentially, I would say, something like
a supporting role.
Supporting. And then maybe potentially be like a weird little spoiler in like cinematography or.
There's one scene that's shot well, and it's El Mal, and that's it.
If it wins anything else besides those, I will record a commentary track to Interstellar.
Oh, I am so excited to rewatch Interstellar now.
I've been constantly afraid about rewatching that. I'm afraid of liking it.
You might like it. Yeah. No, this is probably the one way that I would rewatch Interstellar if you recorded a commentary track to it. And then Joker, both of them. And then Joker 2.
Oh, yes. Well, of course. They're companion movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like basically the same movie, all three of those.
Yeah, but I think
Zero is
most likely is Anora most likely, Conclave second most likely, and then Brutalist third is in my head.
That feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be Dune. It's not going to be I'm Still Here. It's not going to be Wicked. It's not going to be The Substance. It
can't be Wicked.
It's not going to be Nickel Boys.
We nominated it.
Oh, yeah. Leave us alone. Challengers is not here.
Challengers is not. Okay, yeah. Snubs. Yeah, we haven't gotten the snubs. What's our snubs besides Challengers? Obviously, Challengers.
Trap.
Well, obviously Trap. Yeah. I mean, well, like, and that they haven't put Lockout on it as well. Like, well, I would be cool with that as well.
Personal snubs.
Sing Sing.
Thelma.
I think should be on there.
Sing Sing. Oh, yeah. Sing Sing and Thelma. Sing Sing I could actually see being on here. Should be on here. Looking through some of the lists.
It feels, I don't care. But it does feel weird that a Real Pain isn't here.
Yeah.
Like Wicked is, or A Complete Unknown. It's got a writing and an acting.
I don't know if it not showing up in Best Picture means it's more likely to win screenplay or less likely to win screenplay. Like, people will see, oh, this didn't even get I love this movie. Kiram is so good. I want to vote for him. It wasn't even nominated for Best Picture. Well, let's make sure it gets screenplay then.
Yes, that actually, I feel like I have no historical data to support this, but I have a feeling that that happens often.
So oh, yeah, completely.
Yeah. Especially with writing. Yeah, I'd say if we're talking Snoobies, it's really just like ones that that Thelma for me personally, and then Challengers because it was the best movie of most years.
Yeah, and Sing Sing for me. I actually think Sing Sing much too. Deserves to be up here. Trap, obviously, but that's personal. I don't know why I keep harping on Civil War.
Love Civil War, but that movie is like not. That sounded like one of those fucking Alex shorts, Civil War, you know, like just a fucking a loud, dude, fucked up downer.
You have no idea.
It's not a book I've thought about since, and really.
And the best thing is, like, you're seeing them at one of those, like, you know, like a Nighthawk type place. So people are eating, like, you know, wings while, like.
Just what's watching the, like, the body cam footage.
Yeah.
You're watching someone die. I would say.
Garlic Parmesan?
Garlic Parm, you're going to have a greasy finger. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily funny. I think, like, I'm thinking like a honey garlic. That, to me, is pretty funny.
Well, what about when they do those, like, Hawaiian wings?
Oh, like, hilarious. Hilarious. Those are funny-ass flavors for murder.
Okay. All right. So we solved it. We've done the work for you, Motion Pictures Academy Award peoples, whatever. What are some other snubs that we haven't talked about here today? Challengers? We didn't even go over Challengers and everything.
I guess that's really the big one, is Challengers in every single category.
And cinematography, short film. Cinematography for Nickel Boys. Challengers, 100%. Challengers and score. And I feel like there's another, like, giant one that really pissed me off too.
I have like 9,000 cat things open, including my top 10.
Me too.
And like WGA, and just trying to look everywhere to make sure I didn't miss nothing.
WWE.
WWE. I would have loved to see Kneecap show up in international feature.
That would have been good. Yeah. Would have enjoyed that. I'm trying to think if there is, like, looking at animated feature film, like Wild Robot's great. I didn't see Wallace and Gromit or Memoir of a Snail. Inside Out 2 should not be up there. Transformers 1 should be.
Heard nothing but good things about it.
No.
It's really good. I'm trying to think about if there are any other, like, Moana 2, no. Sadly, but
I'm so happy that didn't show up on this list. That would have, like, of all the things that bummed me out about the animated feature category being really annoying.
Yeah.
I was dreading that showing up, even though no one fucking liked it.
Especially considering it was a TV show until it wasn't.
Yep. Mm. Yep. The first 5 minutes of Joker 2. That's animated feature film. Okay.
All right, guys. I think we solved it.
What else we got? Anything? I think we solved it. I think we're good. No other songs, no other sound. We're not going to do any of this other stuff. But yeah, I think that we will be very happy when Gladiator 2 wins Best Costume Design. They had that one nomination. Here you go. Well done. Better Man got visual effects. No way.
I just saw that last night.
I've turned it off several times.
Dude, I don't. The people, I believe that the people saying that it's better than you think are a psyop. Like,
okay, I'm excited for this now. I really want to see it.
I get like 2 minutes in and I'm like, I can't do this right now. And then I turn it off.
He's so obnoxious, and you're supposed to, like, feel bad for him a lot of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it better than Emilio Perez?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's it's wow. In good company. Okay. The movie.
There we go. Classic. Yeah. All right. Well, that takes us to about the end of this episode. Let's go through the rounds. You can find us on the web, moviemoviepodcast.com. You can find Russ on all the social media sites as Rust Incredible. You can find Peter as Peter. Nope. No, you can't. 12 Angry Shortcuts on Letterboxd. You can find me on Letterboxd, Strava, as Johnny Tiggs. Alex, anything yet?
Just come find me.
Okay, yeah, you can find Alex in you know what? I'm not going to give it out. And
one of the boroughs.
One of the boroughs. One of the five boroughs. That is it. Five angry boroughs. We'll be back next time with a normal kind of like recap podcast of the first couple of months of the year. I think we've been amassing a couple of films that we have been watching, definitely a couple of the can that I want to get out of my brain soon. Do we have anything coming up? Any movies that are coming up soon?
Yeah, it's pretty light.
We got Mickey 17.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
I would say we would podcast before Snow White comes out, since none of us are going to see that and we don't want to like think that we are. So
I'm 100% going to see that. What the hell are you talking about?
Fair enough. But like after, so because March 7th is Mickey 17. March 14th is the Looney Tunes movie, which I really want to see.
Sorry, what?
The Day the Earth Blew Up.
Oh! It's a
really animated Looney Tunes film.
That's that, awesome. Okay. Warner Brothers punted to some other.
They shelved it for years?
Yeah, they shelved it, and then they eventually like let some other company get the rights to it.
Yeah.
Classic.
Which is so weird that a Looney Tunes movie just like can't
it's not a
get
Warner a Brothers movie.
Can't get a Warner Brothers release.
Yeah.
Because they're so hot in the streets.
Oh, and, crazy.
That same weekend Soderbergh has a new movie, Black Bag.
He's got two movies in the first 3 months of the year.
Yeah. Dude fucking works. That same weekend's The Day the Earth Blew Up, the new Soderbergh movie, Black Bag, and Novocaine, which might be fun.
It also might be dog shit. Like, yeah, I like Jack Quaid, but I'm like, I don't know why you seem intent on, like, following... Who's that guy who makes shitty movies? he's got a fucking brother, and he was the Crow.
Brendan Lee?
No, the other fucking guy. He was Pennywise.
Skarsgård.
Jim
Curry?
No.
What's the other Skarsgård?
Bill Skarsgård. It's like Novocaine looks like a shitty movie Bill Skarsgård would make, but instead Jack Quaid's like, no, I can do that. Like Boy Kills World, like these movies look so fucking dumb. Now they're not; they don't look necessarily bad, but why? This is what you're gonna do, my guy? All right.
Yeah, well, this is his second movie of the year, too, right?
Right. But don't go so quickly into the Skarsgård zone, because then you can't get out.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't know. He does play a very good like evil. I mean, ever since Scream. He's just done that like that kind of role that he is.
Oh,
now.
Like companion. Which yeah, that is good. Don't do Skarsgård shit.
I have to watch the trailer for Novocaine. I don't even know what this is. But yeah, so we should plan on doing something. I'll probably see it too. after Mickey 17. Well, we should let's come back around after Mickey 17, do a cast around that and all the other stuff that we have been seeing. But thank you all for listening, and thank you all for being here, and we will see you next time on the movie podcast.
Yeah.